bless you today. Hallelujah. Woo! He's worthy of all the praise. Come on, church. He's worthy of all the praise. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah. He's awesome. You're awesome. You're mighty. You're powerful, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Woo! Glory. Amen. He's awesome. Yes, he is. Woo! Now turn to two or three people and say, Jesus is just awesome. Give him a high five. Give him a high five. Amen. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. Get your Bible out. Let's get right into the Word this morning. And I have to tell you, these messages recently on Sunday morning come with a warning. And so again, due to the graphic material or the content of this message, it is not recommended for carnal Christians. So I just want you to know that. I don't want to scare anybody. But we're going to be dealing with some stuff down and dirty this morning. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, down and what? What did he say? What did he say? Dirty. Yeah, down and dirty. We're going to deal with it. And sometimes we just got to deal with it so we know how to deal with it. Right? So Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Oh, that's a good place for an offering right there. Praise God. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I'm not going to read that again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man, what? He will also. Now listen to me. This is something that we have taken out of context and we have used in regards to sowing finances. Now, it's applicable to sowing finances, but in the context of the scripture, it's actually talking about the carnal nature. Now, it says, whatsoever a man sows, he's also going to what? Reap. For he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. Everybody say corruption. Corruption. See, you cannot get away without consequence if you sow to the flesh. You will reap what the Bible calls corruption. And I'll share with you in a minute what that actually means. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, sometimes it's hard to keep doing good when people around you are doing ugly. It's hard to keep being right when everybody around you is all wrong. When everybody's treating you in a carnal way and you're trying to stay spiritual. Can I get a witness in here? Am I the only person that deals with folks that got these, you know, cantankerous attitudes? And I mean, I'm trying to bless them, pray for them, and love them. And inside I'm thinking I want to smack them. Am I the only one? Come on. All right. If it says don't grow weary in doing good, look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let me tell you something right now. You're going to get some opportunity to bless somebody who's persecuting you. And if you don't stick around this church long enough, somebody will step up to the plate and help you out. All right? Somebody will persecute you. Somebody will despitefully use you. Somebody will offend you and hurt you. Can I say praise the Lord with me? Yeah. Well, see, that's an opportunity to do good. And last week we said that's an opportunity to rise up and be able to experience in the realm of the Spirit. Now go to Galatians again, but look at chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read out of the Amplified Bible. I think this will help us to understand this particular scripture. Verse 16 in Galatians chapter 5, it says, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh or of the human nature without God. You know, the human nature without God is a dangerous thing. The human nature without the Holy Spirit will kill you. It will hurt you. Now he said, whatever you sow to the flesh. Now in the Greek it actually means this. The idea of extending one's carnal nature, attitudes, actions, and words, and force them upon others' environments. So when you sow to the flesh, you don't just sow to yourself. To sow to the flesh means extending one's carnal nature outward. So whoever is within proximity of my life gets to share in that sowing. Have you been the recipient of anybody sowing to the flesh this week? All right, a couple of you raised your hand and you just poked your husband right there. And you've identified he's been sowing to the flesh. But see, it's the extending of one's carnal nature toward another person. Look at verse 25 and 26, same chapter, Galatians 5. For if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Holy Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious, self-conceited, competitive, and challenging, and provoking, and irritating to one another. Man, that's pretty descriptive. Envying and being jealous of one another. Jealousy and outbursts of anger. These are the two culprits we're going to grab hold of today, listed for us in the works of flesh in Galatians chapter 5. Jealousy and outbursts of anger. I thought it might be appropriate for us to understand maybe what is an outburst of anger. Why don't you turn your attention to the screens and let's take a look at some examples.
Don't you ever take my son away from me again. Do you hear me?
Leave
me
alone.
Don't ever take my son away from me again. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't you walk away from me when I'm talking to you. Do you hear me? Do you want to leave?
Yeah.
You want to leave?
Yes, I want to leave.
Get the hell out of here then, Linda. Get the hell out of here. Christopher's staying with me.
You're the one that dragged us down. Did you hear me?
You are so weak.
No, I am not happy anymore. I'm just not happy.
Then go get happy, Linda. Just go get happy. Christopher's living with me. Did you hear what I said? Christopher's living with me.
You know, there can be any number of situations in our life when suddenly something happens inside of us and we lose something. I don't know about you, and I've lost a lot of things in my life. I've lost glasses. I've lost my wallet. I've lost my keys multiple times. But when I lose this, it can become very destructive to those around me. And I'm talking about my temper. Temper is the state of one's mind, the condition of one's mind. To lose it or to have ill temper is to describe a person who now their mind's condition is totally out of control. You see, this word anger and control and jealousy comes from the Greek diakostis, and it means this: division or sedition. You know, it's interesting to become jealous or envious of another person, and outbursts of anger are listed together because they are companions in the works of the flesh. Now, what is their goal? Their goal is division. Matter of fact, half of the works of the flesh listed in Galatians 5 have the purpose of dividing life, dividing the church, dividing a home, dividing a relationship. Its sole purpose is division or sedition. Now understand something, ladies and gentlemen. The works of the flesh are capitalized by demonic spirits. So demon spirits know that they can, once these works of the flesh are initiated, they can assume the incentive, if you will, to cause these manifestations to grow and become even greater. They are an attraction to the demonic world. This is where demon spirits have their release or their personality that is seen in this earth. Outbursts of anger or extreme envy and jealousy are demonic. They come from a fallen nature. And when we operate in it as believers, we are opening the door to the gate of hell. Look at somebody and say, shut the door. Shut the door. Glory to God. You see, envy or jealousy is really talking about the first murder listed in the Bible. You remember the story of Cain and Abel and how one sacrifice was accepted and the other was not. And rather than the one who had accepted, the one that had their offering rejected, rather than them going back and redoing things and reapplying the truth and giving God an acceptable offering, they held their position of pride and refused, and as a result became jealous of the one that was accepted. That jealousy opened the door to the gateway of hell, which caused demon spirits to control. And we find then that Cain rose up and killed Abel. Now, if you think with me in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, we find the very same thing with Jesus. If you'll read the scripture, you'll find out that the Jews did not kill Jesus. The Gentiles did not kill Jesus. Demons didn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave up his life on his own. However, envy is what crucified Christ. Envy is what crucified Christ. We find that in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 12 or 27 and verse 18. I want to share with you this morning some powerful symptoms of jealousy. You say, you know, I guess I need to go to the doctor. I need to go to Dr. Jesus this morning and find out, doctor, do you see any symptoms of jealousy in my life? Now, seeds of jealousy can be planted into our lives and we're even unaware of it. But let me identify a number of symptoms. Number one is what we call competition. Symptoms of jealousy, number one, competition. Do you find yourself in a competitive relationship? Do you find yourself desiring to do beyond and go beyond where others have gone? Do you desire yourself to be the winner and not the loser? Now, there's nothing wrong with sportsmanship, but be careful. There's a fine line here when we have to be competitive and we have to make up for what others have in our life, or we feel as though that we're not worthy. Competitiveness. Number two, we also see comparison. Comparison is a seed or a symptom of what we call jealousy. In other words, I look at what you're driving and I have to have something similar. I look at how you wear your hair, so I'm going to get mine dyed the same color. Come on now. You know, you say, well, that's just an innocent thing. No, 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 no. You have to understand, it is a symptom of jealousy. Now, why should we identify those symptoms? Because if the seed of jealousy manifests in its entirety in our life, it will bring destruction to us and to those who we sow jealousy toward. You and I cannot operate in the work of the flesh without sowing it or extending it into the life of others who are in our sphere of influence. It does not stay alone. It is a seed that will be sown. So is the Word of God in our life. So, ladies and gentlemen, understand now. that this seed of jealousy has to be identified. So I need to go before the Lord. I need to ask God, Father, why am I finding myself uncomfortable when I see them get new carpeting in their house and our carpeting is looking raggedy and I'm feeling like we've got to have it? And why am I looking at them because they got to preach and I didn't get to preach? And how come I'm feeling like they get to sing and I don't get to sing? And Lord, I just feel like I should be able to do that. And you know, the whole keep up with the Joneses mentality. It's a concept what we call comparison. Number three. Whoops. Back. Number three. All right. Number three is the need to be recognized. I can't believe it. I did all that work and they didn't even call my name on Sunday morning. They didn't even put my name in the bulletin. I mean, come on. Hey, wait a minute. She didn't do that. I did all that. The need to be recognized. And if nobody says it was a good job, if nobody says I liked what you did, or if nobody pats you on the back, all of a sudden inside it begins to simmer. That is a symptom of jealousy. Now look at your neighbor. Don't look him right in the eye, but just ask him, you got any of those? Woo! Got any of those? Look back at it and say, I had a few, but I got rid of them. Thank you very much. Glory to God. Amen. I'm walking in the Spirit now. Here's a powerful truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The definition of love, which is really the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, manifested numbers of ways. We're not going to get into that right now. But 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Will tell us and describe for us and define for us the concept or the antithesis of the work of the flesh, which means this: love does not seek its own. Everybody say that with me. Love does not seek its own. So when I'm operating in love, I cannot operate in jealousy because love doesn't seek its own. Competitiveness, comparison, and the need for recognition are all descriptive of a person who is not operating in true love. So therefore, we can have church members, church folk, come to church, worship Jesus, clap, shout, hallelujah, and before they get to the foyer, operate in three symptoms simultaneously of a spirit called jealousy. And not really operate in love. So we must then take an inventory. Now say, well, what do I do? If I recognize this in my life, what do I do? Listen, child of God, that is the most powerful tool that you have to defeat this spirit. What? I recognize I've got it. I recognize I operate in it. I recognize these are one of the symptoms that are describing my life. I understand, oh God, that's the step. That's where you can go to the Holy Spirit and pray to God and repent of that thing and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in the totality of God's love. Now go over to James chapter 3 and verse 16. James chapter 3 and verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, selfish ambition, let me just add to it, competition, comparison, and the need to be recognized. Wherever those things are, right? There will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. You see, the root of jealousy is division. The root of jealousy is to conquer and to divide. Therefore, for me to operate in any realm or any level of jealousy is not only to bring destruction to my life, but to also to bring decay, ruin, destruction, and imprisonment to those around me. Let me say that again. Whatever a man sows, he's also going to what? Reap. If I sow envy, if I sow jealousy, I am going to reap jealousy. If I sow division, I'm going to reap division. If I sow decay, ruin, destruction, and imprisonment, and that's what I do by sowing jealousy, then I myself will experience ruin, decay, destruction, and imprisonment myself. So this is why it is so important that you and I come clean before the Holy Spirit this morning, because our children, our marriages, our relationships in the church, on the job, life in general, is going to go however you sow it every day. You're going to reap a harvest of either righteousness, or you're going to reap a harvest of ruin, destruction, decay. You're going to find yourself divided. So the manifestations of jealousy are very powerful. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, because first of all, we looked at the symptoms of jealousy. Now I want to talk to you about the manifestations of jealousy. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, "Then I heard a strong, loud voice in heaven saying, Now it has come, the salvation and the power and the kingdom and dominion, the reign of our God and the power, the sovereignty, the authority of His Christ, the Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren, he who keeps bringing before our God charges against them day and night, has been cast out." Now, what I'm wanting to pinpoint here for a minute is the manifestation of jealousy is often clothed in false accusation. We must be a little bit more discreet and politically correct. In other words, I just don't want to come out and say I'm jealous of you. It's a whole lot easier for me to accuse you falsely, to minimize you in my sight and in the sight of others. Now, I don't feel like I'm inferior to you. I feel like I'm superior to you. So therefore, I have to falsely accuse you. Let me ask the question, what did they do to Jesus? They accused him falsely. Why? Because they were jealous of his authority and his power. And so the devil does what? He is the accuser of the brethren. So when we bring false accusation, has anybody ever heard about in church whether or not anybody talks about anybody else and says something they may not know to be true? Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I think so. A couple times. More than 20 hands went up this time, brother. I think everybody understands that, right? Well, you see, those are manifestations of jealousy. You say, well, I'm not jealous of her. I'm just trying to tell you what the truth is. No. See, you have a symptom, and you're about to die from it. You're about to have ruin, destruction. You're about to have division in your house. You're about to experience utter ruin if you don't repent and start walking in the Holy Spirit. Because jealousy is manifested in false accusation. Now, what did they have to do to bring charges against Jesus? They had to go out and find a bunch of drunks on the side of the road. I heard him say that he was going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. I heard him blaspheme God. They were jealous of his spiritual presence. Wow. Let me tell you something. When you decide to live holy, when you determine to surrender 100% to God, let me just warn you, you will attract all kinds of accusations, because the demonic powers and principalities of the air hate righteousness. And those demons don't come out, manifest in the air with big old teeth and hair on them and say, I saw her doing this. They use Christians. I mean, they use church people. I don't think they can use a Christian. If you're a true Christian, I'm talking about Holy Ghost Christian, but they use church folks. They use people to speak to you and accuse you falsely. Why? The goal is to wear you down. Now, what did Galatians chapter 6 say? that if we continue and do not grow weary in doing what? Good. We will reap if we do not faint. So the concept of the devil is to get us to faint, to get us to grow weary and retaliate in the flesh. Here's the danger that we're seeing in the 21st century. Church folk walking in the flesh and using another manifestation of the flesh to establish the first work of the flesh. For example, I will use jealousy in order to justify my outburst of anger, or vice versa. So we have learned how to manipulate the works of the flesh to get our way. We are people who are desirous to have it our way and to conform not to the image of Christ, but to conform to the image of this world. So how do we defeat jealousy? What do we have to do? How do we defeat it? Number one, we first have to embrace humility. We first have to embrace humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I need to recognize that I have these symptoms in my heart. Lord, I am grieved over the fact that I live like this and I operate like this in my relationships. I acknowledge them, Lord. So the first thing is to embrace humility. Secondly, I must learn how to use good. The Bible says in Romans that we overcome evil, how? With good. So I have to learn now to overcome the evil, not necessarily around me or outside of me, but that tries to manifest in me. Boy, I'd like to go over there and tell her what I think of her. I can't believe she'd come in here talking like that. Let me tell you a thing or two. Now, that's what I'd like to do, but I overcome the evil in me with good, and I walk up and say, praise the Lord, sister. I want to bless you today. Here's $100. Go out to Ohana Sunday. Take your family. And I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And I'm believing God for your increase and your success. And inside you're going, you a liar. You a phony. That's all right. Inside, that flesh is going crazy. But I grabbed hold of good. And so what am I doing? I'm overcoming evil with good. But in America, in this democracy, we are taught we have a right to be ugly. We have a right to go call an attorney. We have a right to tell everybody we know what they did. They should have not done it. You know, the classic example. Pastor, we're not upset about what you did. We know that you had to sit my child down and they were wrong, but we're just upset on how you did it. How I did it? How would you have done it? So you're not mad at what I did. You're just mad on how I did what I did. It's so easy for us to operate in this accusation of the brethren, which is nothing more than jealousy or envy, which has its root in pride. Number three, when you have to encounter jealousy, know this, you are about to be spiritually promoted. When Jesus was crucified by envy on the third day, he rose from the dead. Amen? So he was about to experience a spiritual promotion. So when envy is coming toward you, you're experiencing it from other people, false accusations. You're experiencing the extension of one's carnal attitude, actions, and words into your life and environment. Know this, that you are about to be spiritually promoted. That's why it's vital that you don't respond in the flesh, but you do good and not grow weary, because in what? Due season. You are going to reap. Look at somebody and say, I'm about to reap my spiritual promotion. Come on, tell somebody. Amen. Now look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. And we're floating right along here. We're doing well. I want you to look at it with me, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. I haven't seen anybody faint yet, so that's a good thing. Hallelujah. Nobody's walked out yet. Well, 4 or 5 did, but that's all right. I figure 4 or 5 is success. If it's 40 or 50, then I'm starting to worry. Well, look at Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse 16. Peace and mercy. Everybody say peace and mercy. Be upon all who walk by this rule, who discipline themselves and regulate their lives by this principle, even upon the true Israel of God. Now, what is he talking about? He said, those that will bless and curse not, those that will not return evil for evil, but will give good over evil, those who will not sow to the flesh. This is what's going to happen to you. You are going to walk with peace and mercy, and it will regulate your life. How many know that peace and mercy is a good thing? Amen. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The shalom of God, the mercy of God that's new every morning. See, if you're operating in jealousy, or you're operating in one of the works of the flesh, but we're talking about jealousy right now, if you're operating in that jealousy spirit, then peace and mercy cannot light upon you. And I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning needing some mercy. I woke up this morning looking for some peace. Yesterday was a troubling day. I didn't even expect it. I got up and blessed the day. The day came back and smacked me. But I blessed it anyway. I say, it's good. As I come overcome evil with good. I said, well, that's all right. June 9th is still blessed. Yeah. June 9th came back and said, psh, take that. What do you say now? I say, it's good. God made it good. Psh, what do you say now? Oh, it's all right. It's maybe not that good, but it's still all right. Psh, what do you say now? I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. God is able. How many know that sometimes you have a day like that and you need some mercy? You need some peace. Peace and mercy don't come to people that operate in jealousy. They only come to people who regulate their life by this principle. So I have to understand now, there's some things that are on the line here. I can't afford not to operate without peace and mercy. Now, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20 lists for us the works of the flesh, and we're looking now at outbursts of anger. In the Amplified Bible, it calls it ill temper. I don't know if your temper is ill or not tonight. I need to get that off of there so I can... There we go. No, that's not it. Did I go too far? Outbursts of anger, that's it. You know, it's pretty bad when those letters are that big and I still can't see them without my glasses. Dude, what is that? That's bad, isn't it? Say, Lord, touch! I need healed in my eyesight. It's defined as temper. A temper, rather, is defined as identifying your state of mind. So it's identifying your state of mind. Galatians chapter 5 said that outbursts... Did I lose my sound? Let me have a microphone there. I don't know what happened. Well, it came disconnected. About to have an outburst. Ah! All right. Ill temper. Temper identifies your state of mind. To lose it means to be provoked into anger. When we are provoked into anger, notice it's in the plural form. It means not an occasional thing, but a practice. Not an occasional slip, but a practice of anger. That we have outbursts of anger. What would possess a man to beat up his freezer? What would possess a man to kick your car? Nobody in here has ever kicked their tire or car, have you? Have you ever hit the dashboard like you bad dashboard? Anybody ever done that? What possesses a person to do those kinds of antics? As if that inanimate object says, oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. It's irrational thought. As a matter of fact, when you lose your temper or you lose your state of mind, you are temporarily insane. Now stop hitting those guys in the ribs. Understand something about outbursts of anger. We lose our state of mind. What makes anger so dangerous is it becomes an open door for Satan for murder and for destruction. Do you know the Bible says in Titus 1 and 7 that it disqualifies anyone from leadership who is quick-tempered? I mean, it's pretty serious, isn't it? Why would it disqualify us for being quick-tempered? For a man or a woman who cannot control their temper, their state of mind, and fall into outbursts of anger, they are disqualified from any position in the church, including a pastor. Now, that's pretty powerful to me. Now, I've been around some preachers who have lost their temper. Matter of fact, I just about lost mine when this microphone went out. No, I didn't. You know, I'm just kidding. But when a person on a regular basis practices outbursts of anger, it's more than just bringing destruction or hurt to the recipient of that outburst of anger, but it is an open door to hell. Why? Two things happen when anger is employed. Number one, control. And number two, intimidation. When I become angry and raise my voice, did you hear me? If I've got to tell you one more time, I'm going to knock you into kingdom come. Do you hear me? That's a good one, isn't it? Kingdom come. Or I'm going to knock something out of you and put something else in, or whatever you want to say. What that is that's control and that's intimidation. And here is the basis for those two. Are you ready? Fear. The opposite of love is fear. So when your children live in fear of their father because of his outburst of anger, you have put a spirit in her. You put a spirit in your children. Now, I want to talk to parents for a minute. Ephesians chapter 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. In other words, don't let your anger produce anger in them. Because they're going to learn how to operate not in the spirit, but in the flesh. And they're going to begin to pattern their life around outbursts of anger, and they're learning how to control others and intimidate others by the use of the work of the flesh. That's witchcraft. So when we use our voice to control our children, we are borderline witchcraft. You say, now, Pastor, you're stretching it. You better show me some scripture. Should I deal with it? Or should I just pray right here and dismiss? Because I feel like it's getting real heavy in here right now. Okay. Oh, Jesus. Let's get this one off of there. Let's put this one up. Anger is used as a force of control and intimidation. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 for a minute, please. Ephesians chapter 4, we begin reading in verse 26. When angry, do not sin. Now that almost, to me when I read that, I think, okay, as long as I don't hit him, I can yell at him, right? When angry, do not sin. But be careful now. Let's finish this off. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room are foothold for the devil. Everybody say foothold. Give no opportunity to him. Now we just read that when we operate in anger, we give a foothold or an opportunity for the devil to control that person. How? 1 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you a spirit of what? But of power, love, and a sound mind. If God didn't give you a spirit of fear, who gave it to you? Well, its source is in the devil. Its source is in the devil. So we know that the opportunity that the devil gets to bring fear into a life of a child is when its parents operate an outburst of anger. There's probably nothing more unsettling in the mind of a child than what we saw on the screen when a father loses his temper. The children have to be scurried off and out the door. The children cower. They're filled and gripped with insecurity. They have a self-esteem issue now because now they're wondering if they're the reason why daddy's all upset. If I would have just done the dishes quicker. If I would have just cleaned my room faster. If I would have just got an A and not a B. Oh my God, then daddy wouldn't have been like this. And so as a result of the work of our flesh, we are causing our children to become open season by the devil and his horde, and they come in and deposit a spirit of fear. Go over to James chapter 1 and verse 19. Everybody say, slow is good. James 1 verse 19. Understand this, my brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and slow to get angry. Slow to get angry. You say, well, I guess I need anger management. Maybe I need to go to a psychiatrist and get some medicine. Maybe I need to go to a psychologist and deal with my unresolved conflict. I don't know about that, but I do know this. You and I need to go to the Holy Spirit. And we need to come to him and say, I need love, which will manifest itself in self-control, so that when I'm losing my temper, the Holy Spirit will well up in me and it will gain control of my actions. That's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. That's what walking in the Spirit's all about. It's not all this feathers and frills and jerks and goosebumps. Shouts and dancing and feeling Jesus in this place. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is I'm about to take your head off, and if it wasn't for God, you'd be dead right now. That's right. You say, Pastor, could you be a Christian, have those thoughts about wanting to take my head off and not do it and bless me instead and still be a Christian? Absolutely. Because Jesus is Lord. Otherwise, you'd be dead. We're all human. We all have those feelings. You all get that rage in you when somebody tries to cut you off on the highway. You don't know where it comes from. That's where it comes from. It comes from your carnality. But then you inside, you go, no, in Jesus' name, he may go to my church. I better not say anything. I remember, you know, years ago, this is years ago now, we'd be out public in public place somewhere, and I'd get upset with the kids or something and be in an outburst of anger and try to intimidate them. I said, get in a car. That's exactly right, Emma. Tina said, stop it, stop it. You don't know who could be here. Maybe there's somebody here that knows you. I said, I don't care. Said, no, you can't. You're the pastor. I said, I don't care about that either. Right now, these kids have pushed me right to the limit, and I can't take anymore, and I don't know why I'm deserving all this. And I'm going, oh, man, maybe she's right. You know, in a frenzy of the flesh, you really don't care about the consequences. Come on. See, you don't care when you're in the frenzy of the flesh, when you're in front of the computer screen, guys, until your wife walks in
He's like, whoops. Now all of a sudden you're worried about it. But you weren't worried about it in the middle of it. But self-control, now I'm getting into the fruit of the Spirit here, and I don't want to do that, but the self-control will check you. You ever watch hockey? You see them guys get checked up against the side rails? Bam! That's what the Holy Spirit needs to do to some of us. We're like hard-headed, aren't we? We're bent on getting into the realm of the flesh, and we're gone, and we're skating as fast as we can, and here comes the Holy Ghost. Wham! Check! Let's lift your hand right now. Get real spiritual with me. Come on. Say, Holy Spirit, check me now. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. Get that scripture up there. Put that up there for me, would you? He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. God thinks you're awesome when you can say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm going to bless and I'm not cursing. Nope, I'm not going there. God said, that's a mighty man. That's a mighty woman. That's one that rules their spirit. More powerful than a man that will take a city. So parents, let me finish with you. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37. Here's the key. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Here we go again. Now, what do you mean by that? When you allow your children to wear you out, when you say no, and they know that no isn't really no until you say yes. So when you say no, they just keep working until you get to yes. But by the time you get to yes, you're so provoked that you operate in an outburst of anger and you try to control and intimidate them, but they still get their way anyway. And then you think, my gosh, I can't believe the raising kids is so bad, it's so hard. I can't stand this. I wish you would never born. And you start saying stupid things. Because your yes isn't yes and your no isn't no. Now, it's difficult letting your yes be yes and no be no. That means you got to follow through with what you say. And most people don't want to do that because we lack the discipline. If you say no, sit down, don't get up, you're not getting up until you finish that, you can't walk around and eat that throughout the house. 2 minutes later, they get up, they're walking around the house, they're eating it, you don't say anything. Your yes wasn't yes. Your yes was no. I mean, your no was, they're not really sure what it was. They just went on and did what they wanted to do. Then when you see them in the room, you say, what are you doing in here? And the outburst of anger come as a result of our yes not being yes and our no not being no. Now, church, let me just say one other quick thing here. I might as well say it while we're into this. As a church person, I don't want to call us all Christians because I don't believe everybody in here is a Christian. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. You just offended me. Well, okay, it's between you and Jesus, but I know that the percentage of people in here are probably not Christians. You're probably a church person. There's some of you in here. There may be four of you in here, okay? Look at the neighbor and say, is he talking about you? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. See, I'm digging a hole and I'm getting deeper and deeper. I said, I better get out of this because I'm messing up. I get people getting real. Oh, there's six of them just walked out right now, see? Oh, man. But we have to be careful. We have to recognize that if we're going to walk in covenant with God, and you said yes to Jesus, then let your yes be yes. And not yes on Sunday morning and no on Sunday afternoon. See what I'm saying? Because what happens if we saw that scripture, put it back up there again in Matthew chapter 5, I think it's 37. It says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now I'm giving devil opportunity. Remember we saw that in Ephesians chapter 4, 27 and 28, that I'm giving opportunity for the devil if I operate in outburst of anger. You see that? Now I'm giving the devil opportunity if I don't say my yes is yes and my no is no. So I'm saying, yes, I want to love Jesus. Yes, I follow Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. Then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're living like we're the devil. And then back on Thursday night, we come to church. By the way, we do have church on Thursday night. I don't know if anybody knew that. You know, every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, I'm preaching, or somebody is, and it's powerful, anointed, was great worship. I just wanted to invite you all to come on out once in a while. Maybe once a month, once a year. Be nice for some of you, but it's just a great opportunity on Thursday night. Say, why would I want to go to church twice a week? Well, anyway, Thursday night, 7 o'clock. So when dealing with children, otherwise you frustrate or boil over the rage when your don't know is not no and your yes is not yes. Anger outbursts directed towards children will create in them a life of trouble. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you want to set your children up for failure, operate in the works of flesh in outburst of anger. And they will struggle with that the rest of their life. Now, some of us who didn't know this early on, we have to pray for redemption. We have to go to God for forgiveness, and I've done that. Because early in my parenting and Christian life, I had outbursts of anger pretty regular. If I was pushed to a certain limit, I'd go for it. But I can say today that it takes a whole lot to make me angry, to have an outburst of anger. I might get upset. I might get a little frustrated. I get quiet. It's like, I'm more sanctified in my anger now. It's just, But there was a day, man. There was a day, and some of you may relate to this, some of you may not, but there was a day I'd get so angry, I'd cuss under my breath. Nobody hear me, though. But Jesus said, I heard that. There was a day. Slam that door. Throw things. Bam! Yeah! Oh, man, that was mine. I can't believe I just broke that thing. You know what I'm talking about? I feel like I'm up here with no clothes on. Am I the only one up here? You all sitting there so sanctified. Come on. Gee, I'm in the wrong church. I guess the only one in here that's the church folk is me. You all Christians. You're all saved. Let's wrap this up. How many were in the military? How many ever went to boot camp and had a sergeant screaming in your face? You worm! You girl! You know, it's like, man. Control of one's emotions is a true sign of wisdom, maturity, and great spiritual strength. When the devil is that close to your face and he is letting it go, I'm going to defeat you. I'm taking you out. I'm going to take your wife away. I'm going to give you cancer. Jesus, man, what powerful control. You say you're the Son of God? Prophesy to us. Which one hits you now? All the accusers falsely accusing him, and he said not a word. Just stood there. High priest said, aren't you going to defend yourself? Aren't you going to say something? Who are you? What about all these accusations? Jesus had control. A sign of true spiritual maturity is when one's emotions is under the wisdom, maturity of the Holy Ghost, and it is definitely great spiritual strength. Church, our witness in this hour is when we as God's people live different. We live different because the Holy Spirit is the Lord of our life. I don't live for myself. I live for you. God has given us an acronym of the word love. Celebrating God's love, celebrating one another. Love. Loving God, loving one another, volunteering in the kingdom, and evangelizing the word. L-O-V-E. It's in your bulletin. That's what this ministry is all about. We realize that if we don't have the love of God in us, we can't operate in the Spirit. And that's why we must go to the altar and say, Father, deal with me. Deal with me. If I have any jealousy in me, deal with me. If I have any outburst of anger, Holy Spirit, deal with me. I want to be spiritually mature. I want to move into the realm of under the control of God's love. Is that your heart and desire this morning? Amen. Father, I want to pray for every person in this room. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that they would walk not in the flesh, that we would not walk in the flesh, but we would walk in the Spirit. I'm asking you today, Lord, as we repent, this is a good opportunity right now, right where you're sitting, just to repent. Father, I repent of jealousy. I repent of outbursts of anger. I repent. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me. I'm going to make restitution to those that I've hurt with my anger, intimidation, and control. I now, Father God, bind the works of evil that have come into my life and my family's life as a result of my operating in this level, in this realm. I pray now, Jesus, that you would release your church into a new level of walking in the Spirit. A new level of walking in the Spirit. Lift your hands right now. Come on, church. Oh, lift your hands right now. Holy Spirit, come right now, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, begin to speak to our hearts right now, Lord. Move freely along each row. Move freely right now through each life, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Husbands taking a wife's hand and saying, I repent in Jesus' name. Mother taking daughter or son's hand and say, I repent in Jesus' name right now. Oh, Lord, I bless your name. I worship you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and live in me now strong. Holy Spirit, come in me right now and live strong. I need to repent, oh, right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to operate in envy, Father. I want to operate, oh God, in blessing. I want to bless and not curse, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless your holy name. Jesus. 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 Come on, let's worship Jesus for a minute before we go this morning. Come on. Could you turn her up, please, back there? a hand and worship Jesus. Holy, holy. Sing it again, He's holy.
Holy,
yes, Lord, You're holy.
Holy,
holy,
holy, Lord.
Sing it again, holy Lord, holy Lord. This morning, we want to just worship the Lord in our giving, our tithe, and our offering. Church, thank You for loving this ministry. Thank You for loving this ministry to give the way You give. Because without Your giving, we couldn't do it. Thank You for serving the way You serve. And I want to acknowledge a dear friend of mine here this morning. I think you're here, Todd. Are you here? Come on up here, Todd. Get ready to give your offering, would you? The envelopes are there before you. Your tithe, 10% of your increase, if you could get ready to do that. Todd and I go way back. I first met him when he was a freshman, I think, in high school or sophomore. And he now is a senior in high school. We're praying that he'll graduate. But he has served so many capacities in the ministry, but as of late, such a powerful anointing has come upon him for children. And we have a distinguished award here at Church on the North Coast. It's called the Rose Cherney Award for Outstanding Service to Children's Ministry. If you don't know Rose Cherney, Rose was a grandma in our church, served children all her life. Powerful woman of God who went on to be with Jesus at 92 last year. And so in her honor, we award somebody that particular achievement every year. And for the 2006, which is almost half over, but for the 2006 year, Todd, we want to say we award you the Rose Cherney Award for Outstanding Service to Children's Ministry. Thank you for loving kids. We appreciate it so much. Amen. Thanks for loving our kids. Be seated. Now, Lord, bless this offering, and we'll give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tara's coming now to bless you, and then we'll be dismissed following that song.
My reward worth living for. Still more awesome than I know, and all of You is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with Your love. All I have in You is more than enough. You are Lord, yeah. You are my supply. You're my breath of life. You're still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King, You're everything. He's still more awesome than I know, and all of You is more than enough for all that. have for you. Yeah, yeah. More than all that I want, more than all I need, He is more than enough. More than all I want, more than all I need, He is more than enough for me. More than all I want, more than all I need, You are more, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have is you. And all I have in you is more than enough.
Amen. Good job, Tara. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, everybody on our feet this morning. You know, if you need prayer this morning, we want to pray for you as a church family. We want to touch and agree with heaven on your behalf. You know, say, I'm going through a lot. There's things that I'm just struggling with, and I just need somebody to agree with me. There's power in prayer. Here in this house, we believe that God answers the prayers that we give up to Him. And our altar ministry is coming right now. And if you say, gosh, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff in my life. I got relationship issues, or I got provision issues. You know, we're none of us are beneath it. We're all susceptible to it. And don't leave here today without coming to that place of agreement with another. Because, you know, when we touch and agree on a thing, we believe the Bible is true. We believe that God moves the earth on our behalf when we come together and pray. So if you need prayer this morning, if you need a touch in your body, right now in Jesus' name, I just feel the Lord saying, I just feel the Lord saying, I'm healing you of that cancer. I just feel the Lord saying, I'm healing you of that cancer. Right now, He's healing you of that cancer. You say, somebody in here is struggling with that. They've had that on their heart, and nobody knows it but you. That's you this morning. Come receive prayer. Come on, God is healing you of that cancer right now. Come on, give Him praise, church. Amen, that's good. You know, when God moves like that, that's good. Hallelujah. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Him as your everything and all your provision and all your peace, we want you to know Him this morning. If somebody invited you to church, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He has a great plan for your life. He has great things for you to do. He has people for you to touch that only you can touch. If you would like to accept Christ as your Savior, I want you to come forth right now and receive prayer. Come on, come, just get out of your seat. I'm not going to give you a long altar ministry call. You know who you are. You just move from where you are and come up here and receive prayer and get right with the Lord. If you say, I'm disconnected from the Lord, or the Lord touched me this morning with the things that Pastor said, come on up here and get prayer this morning. And you know what? We just want to close out in prayer. Let's all close our eyes and just lift our hearts to the Lord. Father, thank You for revealing these things to us today. We just praise You. We thank You that You're a merciful and gracious God, that You love us enough that You will not let us be in that place of sin, in that place of rebellion towards You. We thank You, Lord, that You love us enough to show us where we're erring, where we're wrong. Lord, just deal with hearts right now. Just call children home. Just call them home right now. Wayward children, people that are in this place that have had a rebellious spirit and a rebellious heart towards You, Lord. We just pray the Holy Spirit would convict them right now and bring them home. Oh, right now, just right now, Holy Spirit, move up and down, side to side, front to back, and begin to tug on the hearts of your children. Oh, that they would repent and that times of refreshing in the Spirit would come. We give you praise this morning and thank you, God, that you love us so very much. We give you glory and honor and praise in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Live right, love everybody, pray hard, visit the table before you leave. Get to know your family. Hey, you lefties, come over and hang out with the righties. And you middles, you know, just get to know your family. They're estranged from you. Be blessed, everyone, as you go.